I am Digital Dave.
And I used to be Fast Eddie.
We're going off the tracks today, but we are back on now.
No, we're not.
All right. Yes, we are. We have Ken McNulty from the Air Force Research Lab, Department of Public Affairs.
That's me.
That's kind of interesting. I thought most of the stuff they did in private there, they don't want anybody to know what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not privileged to say everything we're doing, but I can say, it's a very fun job. I like what we do. We get to tell our story, and I get to be kind of at the forefront of that.
Cool. It's got to be kind of a generic story, because if you told the whole thing, they'd have to kill you.
Yeah.
I've been told.
He's told exactly what he can say and can't say.
Yeah, I've got a handler you can't see behind the scenes.
Exactly.
I was going to say.
And there's a taser wired to you.
Yeah. Taser or a claymore, your choice.
So what exactly are you doing? I mean, I've never even heard of the Air Force Research Labs till now. I always thought of like JPL and that kind of stuff, but you guys are a lot quieter.
Yeah, great question. So, I mean, it's our history goes back, a pretty fascinating history, back to 1917. So McCook Field in Dayton, Ohio is where it all started. Obviously, we had a historian on earlier. He knows all this, but that transitioned to where we are today. After a lot of the combinations of the super labs in the 90s, AFRL was born around 99 in its current state, and they needed help telling that story because there were so many different labs that became part of this and so many different actors. They're like, how do we get a cohesive message? So folks like me and my PA shop have been doing that for about 20 years now to get more name recognition, for one, because you're right, a lot of folks aren't familiar with the research lab.
Right. So,
well, there's reasons why people shouldn't be familiar with the research lab, because some of the stuff you're doing is like highly ultra super secret classified.
And some organizations like the Secret Service, I don't want to be familiar with. Thank you.
Absolutely.
So this message is, as well as general public, are you like going in front of Congress for funding and stuff, telling what you guys do? Or
yeah, a great question. So it's for our angle for PA. We do a lot of the forward facing for the public, even places across like other services, whether it's the Army, Navy, even the Air Force, because some folks aren't fully aware of what we're researching when we can talk about it. But Congress, yeah, we have a lot of other folks who are actually in D.C. Who are speaking for funding and different means we need for AFRL. So that is part of our portfolio.
Okay.
And so, in other words, you can go out in front of us and tell us when it all works. You can't tell us how it works, but you can say, yes, it does work.
And then, of course, we're real happy about it.
and then when it doesn't work, you go, well, we'll give it another shot.
100%. Yep. There's times where we have machinery out there, beautiful planes we've helped make, and they're like, hey, how does that work? I'm like, well, I can tell you what it does, but inside, just know it works.
Right, so, right. All you need to know, call us and we'll be there.
And of course, when things don't work, you just can't say, well, we're going back to the drawing board because it's a complete clunker.
Yeah, that can be the difficult section. That's where we get some of our scientists and engineers to help out, so they can tell us how it failed successfully.
There you go. And then when you can explain to Congress where all their money went.
There you go.
I don't want to get personal here, but you sure can tell that he is a public affairs individual.
Yeah.
Because it failed successfully. How the heck do you pull that off?
There are some cases where we find to learn a lot from failure, and that's part of what we've been told is like there's that give and take. We have to have that risk to be able to try something new, but not so much that we're wasting resources. And part of that is the Air Force had a lot of risk aversion for a while, and then we're trying to kind of push that boundary. So that's part of our messaging, is we're willing to take risks where we need to.
Right. And you have to be willing to fail in order to advance.
Exactly.
Right, because, failure teaches better lessons than success.
100%.
We've been there.
Well, failure is a lot easier to do.
You're right.
And often more fun.
Yeah, there you go. Talk to Elon Musk about that, right?
Yes.
Hey, sometimes seeing a cool explosion, failure or not, you're like, that was neat.
Yep.
Put that on social.
Yeah, that was great.
There you go. Well, yeah, it didn't explode. It was a rapid, unplanned disassembly. Yeah.
See, you're a PA guy. Look at that.
Yep, there you go.
Well, spin. I learned.
I remember there was a program called Dark Blue way back, some sort of aircraft. Well, they had one crash. So it became nicknamed Dark Spot.
Dark Spot. That's funny. See, sometimes you can have fun with it. I like that.
Yeah. You got to laugh at the failures.
You got to laugh, exactly.
And then learn.
Yeah.
So I imagine you're quite busy then.
Yes. Our office gets a lot of requests, whether that's from different media agencies, even partnership stuff we help with, onboarding with new. We have interns and students, Congress, like you mentioned. It's a lot. But we have a large team that's really capable of making this happen.
Okay, do you get a lot of, when you say we get a lot of inquiries, are they questions like, who are you and what do you do?
So, funny you ask that. So, a little anecdote. So, I run a lot of our social medias. So, we've gotten some interesting messages on Facebook. You can imagine it's a public profile. So we get some people who ask, like, I'm not kidding. So this is okay to talk about. I've talked to my team. Somebody sent me a message my first month. And they're like, what if I told you I could do telepathy? And I wanted to respond so badly, like,
oh, yeah.
Are you Professor Xavier? but no, we deleted the message. But we get a lot of that. But the other side, the real side of things is, yeah, we get a lot of folks who are from Dayton Daily News, because Wright-Patt's where our headquarters is, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. But a lot of news agencies, and we're stationed around the world. So a lot of that is asking about technologies, our vanguards and stuff like that. So usually it's more serious things, but in our messages on social media, anything but.
Anything's possible, yeah. Are you guys working on those hover cars yet?
We get that a lot. I've got a man who sent me Ancient Alien Theories. Right. I don't know what he was trying to tell me, but it was an incredible infographic I think he made. So I saw a lot of hieroglyphs. I'm like,
how many questions about Roswell and Area 51?
Let me tell you, the aliens, yeah, especially working at Wright-Patt, we get a lot.
Yep. There's a whole bin. Oh, you know, here's another one.
I never thought about you guys being out at Wright-Patt. When I think of Wright-Patt, I think of the Air Force Museum.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
That's a nice backdrop.
It is.
Meanwhile, the important stuff is going on in this little drab, unremarkable building.
Yeah, there's a little drab building with a big basement where
and
people are
working.
And it
has no
working.
Windows.
Hey, Building 15 is where we work, and I can see the Air Force Bay or the museum.
They
right
allow
from
you to
there.
Have windows?
I'm above impressed. Ground. Yeah, above ground, I can look at every once in a while, but underground, not so.
The Public Affairs Department, the guys doing the secret work, no.
No. Us, we were upstairs where it's sunny and bright.
For the most part.
For the most part.
Yeah, not today, though.
No.
So, do they keep you in the loop, or only when something has become noticed that they bring you up to speed on what's going on?
It's the latter, yeah. So, usually, I'm only on the need-to-know basis, because I'm a public affairs guy, so they're like, we'll only tell you when you have to know this. So, yeah, when things are ready to be talked about and prepared, I'm told. Otherwise, it's safer if I don't.
Yes, ignorance is bliss.
That's what I've been telling people.
And then there's the, oh, by the way, tomorrow you're going to need to talk about.
And that's, okay, brief me, we'll be good to go.
Tell me what you can say.
I don't know. It just seems to me that in a top secret organization, that a public affairs department is kind of as useful as wheel chocks, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely a balance, because that's what people have asked me. It's like, how can we deter people with this hard-hitting technology that we can't talk about, but still thread that needle to show that we're doing it? And that's the trouble of it. So that's why they need us to help thread that. You are right. There's a lot of red tape. There's certain things we just simply can't say, or if we try to prepare a message, has to be vetted by leadership. So there's a lot of work with it, but because of the expertise we have, it's made a lot easier over the past 5 years, I'd say. We've really improved our processes.
Not to mention the social media.
Yes.
That really adds to the confusion as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, especially with changing ownership, rules, and stuff. We've had to shift on a lot of different social channels, drop some, focus on others. That is a more difficult conversation.
So what you're saying is that's not really his name, because he's not allowed to use his real name.
He's not even himself. He's a holographic projection.
You may not know. I was going to say I could be anybody.
Yeah. Oh, no. Not again.
If you can be anybody, then be Batman. Batman is cool.
You know, I have a Christian Bale impersonation. I'm not good at it, though.
Nobody is.
I was going to say.
You're better off with Val Kilmer.
Probably easier.
How about Michael Keaton? Come on.
Michael Keaton, yeah. Maybe you could pull that off.
Wow, we are really dragging up history here. But that's all he's allowed to talk about, you know?
That's right. Anything else, you'd have to kill us.
They were involved in the car, the design of the car, I'll bet. Can you confirm or deny that?
I can't say that Colonel Stapp was the one who, or Stapp was the one who actually made the seatbelt. So he helped do a lot of tests with the G-Wiz back in the day. So the reason we have modern seatbelts is due to him. And that's actually at our booth. You can check out here at Oshkosh.
Well, see, there's something I would have not seen. That's a tidbit.
Yeah, that's a fun fact that, again, our AFRL historian you heard beforehand, Jeff Duford, he could go on about it. So trust me, one of his passion projects is talking about the G-Wiz, which you can also see at the Air Force Museum.
Okay, what exactly is a G-Wiz?
Great question. So is it rocket test? So Colonel Stapp was tasked with how can we safely get people to go very quickly and stop very quickly without being injured. So the G-Wiz was kind of this rocket platform where they were able to test on a track, and he would stop and start at his own risk. And he took a lot of damage from it, but he again, made the modern seatbelt a lot of safety standards we wouldn't have otherwise. Like, he truly was revolutionary in that.
He pulled an incredible number of G's, as I recall, on one stop, and was temporarily blinded, as I recall. He took one heck of a bang.
Well, if my car's ever going 600 miles an hour and I need to stop quick, I'll thank him.
Yes. You get it once, we can do it. But you're right. Yeah, there's a very famous story about that. He had temporary blindness. It was scary.
Yeah.
I imagine it was.
You know, and you have to ask the question, what possessed him to check this thing out?
It's not. It's a passion.
Yeah, that's what it had to be.
Right.
He's like, I'm going to prove this works no matter what.
Yeah, because people told him, like, are you sure, sir? We can test with other folks. He's like, nope, if I'm leading it, I'm doing it. And I respect that.
Yep.
There's a man
skin
who put
in the
himself.
Game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, skin in the game, exactly. Well, I'm glad it worked out for him.
Yeah, I was going to say, it worked out for the best.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us, Ken McNulty of Air Force Research Lab Public Affairs.
Public Affairs Department.
Yes.
Sounds like a great job.
Hey, well, thank you both. If you're ever in town in Dayton, I'll definitely give you a tour of the museum, and we can hang out.
I will do that. I will do that, definitely.
I'll meet you over at the Valkyrie, my favorite plane.
Now that I can do.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And I'm Digital Dave, and this is EAA Radio.